When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls around the world? I would like to welcome you back to the Real Talk with Zuby podcast. As you've probably seen and you've already heard, we have got on some legends on the podcast today. I've been following these guys on YouTube for literally over 10 years. TMW, Twin Muscle Workout, the Conservative Twins, a.k.a. the Hodge Twins. Welcome to the show. How are you guys doing?
Hey, thanks for having us, man.
Yeah, we're doing great, man. We're doing real good.
Real good.
Yeah, we just got out of a cold, though, man. I don't know what that was. Maybe it's COVID, too.
Oh, hey, man.
What's that other dialect is out?
Dialect? That's a language. You mean, what do you call it? A new strand?
Yeah.
Variant. Variant.
Yeah, variant. That's
you
what
said
I
said. Dialect.
Yeah, I'm getting tired, man. It's early, man. Yeah. Just woke up. Yeah, we had a cold, man. This is the first day since we got back from our tour that I'm actually feeling good. Yeah.
Awesome, man. Great. Well, I've done a brief intro there, but for the few uninitiated people who may be watching or listening, tell them who you are and what you guys do.
Well, currently we're like, I would say for like the last 3 years, we really went balls deep into politics. But we started, like you said, like 10 years ago. It first started with just like a channel where we talked about current events, like wild stuff you hear in the news. Then we started fitness.
Then we went into our relationships.
Yeah, we have a relationship channel.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. People love just to hear what we think about anything.
Yeah.
But our popularity has never been like this high. I think a lot has to do with because of our political views.
So. Yeah.
And being black and having those political views too is it's kind of I'm sure you understand that, just being black and being far as our political views.
And I know the white people said, man, I thought I was going crazy there for a second. Actually, some black men that think like I do, you know.
Sometimes I knew I wasn't going crazy. I want to say this stuff, but I couldn't.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy, man. I mean, my family background's originally from Nigeria, and I think people forget that there's an entire continent called Africa, which is full of black conservatives. People in the UK and USA act like we're unicorns or something, but it's not actually as rare as people think.
Yeah.
That's
proof because, you know, mainstream media like paints us as like the outcast, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure there's a lot more of us that just don't have the balls to speak up. You know these niggas. These niggas, man. There's something wrong with these motherfuckers.
Ah, there we go.
I
just got demonetized right there.
Hey, man. All right, no more customers. Sorry about that. You can't even get paid for this.
So before anyway,
the weirdest thing, Zuby? You know, you've been following us for years. A lot of people, a lot of black people is not really, we haven't resonated well. I mean, ever since I was a small child growing up through school, I never considered myself to be, you know, black. I didn't feel that way. It's just, I can't explain
it. Black. Both your parents are black.
I mean, both my parents are black.
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm trying to say I'm transracial, man. I feel like a white man trapped in a black woman's body. No, seriously. What I was going to say is, you know, black people, for the longest, they said we're not black. So we wanted to prove to them that we're not black. So we went and got our DNA tested. And like you, 25% of our DNA is Nigerian.
Okay. 56%
overall is from Africa.
Yeah, but the biggest part of Africa is Nigeria.
Yeah, I forget.
There we go.
Tobago. Shut up. Now, keep in mind, Zuby. Keep in mind now, I got DNA results, right? Came out. They said, oh, you ain't black. Soon as I come out conservative,
Oh, man, you a damn sellout. You just want to be white. So I've been telling you niggas for the last 10 years I'm black. Now all of a sudden I'm a sellout?
Yeah. Hey, man. Hey, man. As we know, blackness and whiteness are about politics now rather than any type of DNA or genetics, apparently. That's what I've been told.
Yeah.
No doubt.
You're supposed to think a certain way just because you're black. You're supposed to be dumb and depending on a white man.
Come on now. You're talking down to black folks now.
That's what they want reparations. They want this. They want that. They can't bend for themselves. You need white politicians, liberal politicians to take care of your life, and you don't. People don't realize the power that they have over their own life.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. And the main reason, Zuby, why we came out as conservatives, because we want to show, you know, people of color that no politician can give you the American dream. You have to earn that. No liberal, no conservative is there to give you the American dream. And if any liberal conservative is saying that, they're lying to you. Yeah. The only reason why I vote Republican, I voted for Trump, is because I want everybody to stay out my damn life. That's the only reason why I vote. I don't vote because I want reparations. I'm not voting for you because I think you're going to bring jobs to my community. I just want you to leave me alone, let me do my thing, and just make sure nobody takes my rights away. That's the only reason why I vote.
Yeah, well, 2021, that's super controversial, wanting to be left alone. Yeah. I want to find out a little more about your journey. How did you guys even get into the world of YouTube? What's the story behind that?
It was Keith's big idea, really. We was working as insurance adjusters at AAA of Southern California. Keith came to my desk because we were studying. I wanted to be an accountant. We wanted to be CPAs. Can you imagine us working on this?
Man, they forget for him, man. Waiting 2 weeks for this bullshit.
Man, stop cussing, man. He ain't gonna
That's
get
not a cuss word.
It's derogatory.
By the way, it was my idea, so I went to Kevin's cubicle. I said, "Hey, man, they can start this new platform called YouTube."
Yeah.
"Hey, man, I heard we can make a couple bucks on there, because I was just trying to find money to pay my car note on time, keep it from getting repossessed."
Yeah.
And I would say for the first 2 or 3 years, it really didn't go anywhere for us.
I think the most amount of money we made during those 2-3 years was like maybe $25 a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wasn't much.
I don't know. Then all of a sudden it just started slowly growing. And before we knew it, you know, I still can't believe it, actually. Because I remember our first YouTube video we put up on Christmas Day.
Remember what year was that?
Yeah.
We put up it was like a comedy sketch. And our first comment was, "What kind of loser with no subscribers uploads a video on Christmas Day?"
Ouch. A taster of things to come.
Yeah. These people, I don't even read comments, man. I remember I was reading a comment. This dude hated us so bad, he wrote a comment this long. Just to give you the gist of his comment, he said, "I hope y'all get in a car accident. The other one's thrown from the vehicle. He's paralyzed. He can't move. The other one's trapped in a car with a seatbelt wrapped around his neck and the car can't go far. And you watch him die. That's how much I hate y'all."
Ooh, man. People are savage on the internet, man. People are savage on the internet.
That's crazy as hell, man. That's pure hate right there.
100%, man. So how did you guys start to gain traction? Was there a particular video that took off, or
I would say
how did it go?
Yeah.
Because we was doing current events, you know, we talk about wild stuff in the news.
But we wasn't really being ourselves yet. Really, fitness, you know, opened us up and we were starting to be more genuine. Because whenever you do media, if you don't come off genuine, people think you're fake. People not going to. We generally started to open up when we started doing fitness. It was more us. We could be ourselves.
Yeah, because when we first started, we was like, "Oh, today on today's hard swings, this happened in Minnesota."
Right.
I mean, we was being what we thought people thought we should be.
Yeah.
I think we really took off once we started just being us.
Yeah.
Because sometimes we'd do a video and I said, "Man, I mispronounced that word. Just upload it."
Right.
Because I know y'all probably saying, "What did he say?" So right. Stuff like that, we'll just keep in the video because it's just us, and I'm not trying to be perfect anyway. Nobody's perfect, though.
Yeah,
no doubt, man. What was it that kept you going through it? Because anyone, you know, any entrepreneur, any creative person building something and staying consistent with it, especially when you're not really seeing results or money, it's hard. It's disheartening, especially when you're getting nasty comments, you're putting in work, you're doing stuff.
Right.
What was it that kept you going throughout that?
Well, we always wanted to be like entrepreneurs, not have a boss.
Yeah.
I always wanted that power over my life where I didn't have to clock in. And that was my motivation, because I didn't feel like I was ever getting somewhere, you know, working for somebody else.
Yeah. Well, Keith just saying that because every job we had together, we lost, so we got fired. So it's not like we had a choice.
Guess who got us fired?
And you guys were
right? Because I interviewed better. I said, hey, I get the job. I'm wicked. Hey, you know what? You like me, right? I got a twin brother just like me. He needs a job too, man. We'll be there for about 6 months a year. Kevin will come in and get us both fired.
There's got to be a good story there. Is there anything you can share on a podcast?
A lot of cussing in it. I mean, we got fired from AAA because we was doing YouTube videos.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
We was in the office, right? Because we didn't have time. We had a job, right? So we were sitting in this office on the second floor. There was no signage or anything. During our lunch break, we would just do stupid little YouTube videos to keep it going. Mm. And I guess we were cursing in the videos. HR found out about it.
Yeah, they started an investigation. But the whole reason why they sat down and talked to us, because at that time the economy had tanked. I mean, it was, you know, the economy was doing real bad. So
we was overstaffed.
They used it as a reason to
fire us. Yeah.
Fire us.
Yeah. But it's funny. They had already fired Kevin. Right. Then he came to talk to me. And I right there while I'm talking to this HR and this woman, they're recording it. I was like, man, I think these white people about to fire my ass. Right? So I was trying to be professional, you know, and keep it going and talk my way out of this. Then all of a sudden, about 10, 15 minutes into it, Kevin, like, busts open there. There you are, I found you. Hey, you know what they talking to you about, right? They already fired my black ass. They fired you too.
Yeah, I went off on them.
Yeah.
I gave them white people a piece of my mind. That's back in my liberal days. I was a stone cold fool back in the day. I cussed out everybody. They called the cops, security.
But it was about those YouTube videos.
And, about some cursing.
Yeah, because we cursed in videos. But keep in mind, on the YouTube video, we're not saying we're employed by AAA.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't know where we're at.
Yeah.
I mean, I got a shirt and tie on. I'm looking professional. But
they just used it because they was overstaffed. And me and my brother, man, we was like some of the hardest workers at that company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That job I took it serious. I worked. I busted my ass. I did everything right. And they're going to fire me for some shit I did on lunch break.
But you know what? Yeah. You know what? Because of what happened, we was allowed to get unemployment.
Yeah.
For the next year, we was on unemployment. It's like, hey, man, let's stick to this YouTube. We got unemployment coming. Let's see if we can make it work. Yeah. So if they had never fired us,
we'd still be there.
I'd still be there.
Yeah.
And calling up people, hey, this is Keith Hargis, the adjuster handled your claim. Yeah, I'm just checking in. We'll see how your car's doing. Oh, your car's messed up. Well, hell, I can't do nothing for it. I tried my best. Have a good day. Thank you for being with AAA California.
Hey, man, blessings come in all sorts of ways. You guys were You guys were in the military for a while as well. Was this after or before this?
This is way after. We was in military from 94 to 98.
Yeah, this was right out of high school. Because at the time, we was just trying to find ourselves and do something productive with our life because all my friends was getting locked up.
Oh, you know what? Them niggas still in jail. Them niggas get up like 2-3 weeks, they go right back. I'm like, man, I went to... It's like the whole majority of their entire life has been in prison, been in jail. I was like, wow, man. And you know what I never noticed growing up? None of my friends' dads had, they had dads. None of them. Yeah. Never, really? I never realized it.
Mm.
Yeah. You know?
We
grew up without a dad, too. My dad died when we were, he actually died on our 14th birthday. So, but the school that we were going to, which is Fidel Collinsville, they actually assigned us a mentor when my dad passed away, and they wanted a male figure in our life, which really helped us. It was a pastor. I forget his name. It's been so long ago, but
I think his last name was Hawkins.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Pastor
Hawkins. His last name was Hawkins. Mm. It was a good black dude, man.
Yeah. I used to laugh at him and make fun of him, but looking back on it, that dude. Yeah, Pastor Hawkins, he would come like every Tuesday, 2 days a week, and he would come see us on the weekends
and just talk to us about life after high school.
Yeah.
Just start setting your dreams and just know you can be whatever you want to be.
you know, stuff they don't tell black kids nowadays. Yeah. They tell us white privilege and, you know, you black, you always going to be black. You're going to be a sorry ass black person to the day you die. I mean, just having people like that life. Yeah. I mean, I think it set the foundation for us. But also, I got an older brother who was in the Army.
Yeah.
And he was doing good for himself. So.
And before our dad passed away, he worked two jobs. So he was never home. He was always working.
Yeah. And so. But we noticed that.
Yeah.
It's really important to see your dad, you know.
Busting his ass, working hard. Yeah.
Working hard for the family. And a lot of kids, looking back at my friends, they didn't have that.
Yeah.
Mm. And I think that's the reason why they're criminals. Well, sure. They had dads, but they never saw them. And then when they did see them, they was probably selling drugs or beating up people. So I can understand why them fools in prison, because that's what they learned from their from their dad, you know.
Yeah, my absolutely.
Dad, he wasn't a bad person. He wasn't in gangs or anything like that. Good dude. Yeah,
no doubt. When you go back to the time when you were growing up and you compare the narrative, shall we say, as what it was like then versus what it's like now, how have you seen that change, especially in the USA?
I mean, I remember I used to see on TV, like, what's that commercial? A Negro's mind, a horrible thing to waste, and then they'll put an egg in a frying pan and fry it, drugs or something. I don't know. It's like
this. I don't know what the hell you talking about. Are you talking about them drug commercial?
No, it's like a war against drugs, and then it's like, it was this commercial. It was meant for the black community. It was, the Negro mind is a terrible thing to waste, or mine is a terrible thing to waste.
And
now you don't see anything like that. I mean, the black community actually do not realize they control their own fate.
Yeah.
They think they need politicians to help them be, and it's all on you.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Joe Biden's son. Dude, your dad is the president. He's been in politics, but look how horrible this dude is. This dude's a crackhead.
What do you think he learned it from? Wherever there's smoke, there's fire. I mean, Hunter didn't learn that shit by himself. Ain't nowhere in hell your daddy could be a politician, do everything right, and your son grow up and be a crackhead? No, man, it's not a coincidence.
That's crazy, man. You're like, if you believe in white privilege, right, Zuby? Why your son stuck on a nigga drug? White people do coke.
They do crack. No, they do heroin.
They do crack and heroin. Every once in a while, you have a white dude to do some heroin.
Yeah.
But they don't do crack.
Crystal meth, more likely.
Said he's the smartest man he knows. You can't be too smart and white if you're doing heroin and crack.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a fair point.
He's successful. He's white privilege right there, making millions of dollars.
And not to mention, remember his email, Zuby? Dude was using the N-word and all that.
Yeah.
And then look what they did to that head coach of the Raiders, Gruden. It's just like, man, I don't understand what's going on in this world. And I'm pretty sure Gruden's emails wasn't the only email that, you know, that could trigger people.
Yeah. No, of course not, man. Well, it depends on what side you are, right?
Right.
It's a narrative being pushed. And,
Yeah, absolutely. So what was it that got you guys to make the shift into going into the political realm in a public sense?
It was a kid, I think it was somewhere in Texas at a Whataburger. He got attacked for wearing a MAGA hat.
Oh, I think I remember that.
That was our very first political post. And before we did that video, me and my brother had been conservative for about
a good part of my life.
A majority of our life we was liberal. But before that incident happened, we had been conservative about 4.5, maybe 5 years at that time.
Okay.
But we never came out politically and, you know, told anybody, because we didn't want to really alienate half of our fan base, you know. Mm-hmm. So we decided to do that video.
Yeah.
We put the video up, and the only thing we said, we didn't even pick a side. We just said no one should be attacked for wearing a shirt or hat or expressing their First Amendment right. As soon as we throw that video up, I mean, it's like our subs was like this. As soon as we put that video up, that shit went like that.
It was like Bitcoin.
This shit fell off a cake.
It was like Bitcoin in 2017. $20 was at $3,500.
So that pissed us off.
It pissed us off because I was like, these people have been like supporting me, watching me for years, and then just because I'm voicing this opinion, now I'm garbage.
Yeah.
They called us garbage.
Yeah. And not the guy that was attacking the kid.
Yeah.
They called us garbage.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's like, so that pissed us off. It actually galvanized. I said, I don't want these people following me no more. So we start doing political videos.
Keep didn't saying those words. He said, I'm tired of these niggas. I don't want these niggas following me. These niggas got to go. That's what Keith said. We got to get rid of these niggas.
So we start doing the videos. And I had no idea we was going to gain the traction that we did.
Yeah.
I knew we would gain followers talking politics, but I didn't know it was going to blow up the way it did.
Yeah,
I really didn't.
And since we was in fitness and was doing a relationship, I mean, we was doing comedy shows and the love that we would get. But it's nothing like the love we get now from conservatives at our shows. Yeah, I mean, we come out to a standing ovation.
Yeah, conservatives really support one another.
I mean, conservatives really support other conservatives. And the love we get when we come out and when we leave is just like,
yeah,
it's just amazing. It's nothing. We didn't envision any of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. White people.
I was gonna ask how of the I assume there's been a little bit of a demographic shift there.
Oh man, our shows used to be like a mix.
Mm. Yeah.
Now it looks like a Van Halen concert. And there's one black guy in the front.
Yeah.
And he's there with a white woman.
Why do you?
That black guy sounds like a white dude. You ain't got no. Yo, what's up, homie? You ain't got none of those niggas now. It's just straight educated brothers, man. They got brains.
Yeah. But it's getting better. Like our last few shows we did since the COVID. I mean, the black and brown is starting to come out.
Man.
It was a lot better when we first initially came out.
It was 20 people at one show.
Hey, it's a start.
It was a lot better than five, like it's been.
It's a lot better than that. I mean, black and brown people are starting to wake up, and they've been our last shows in Oklahoma City. But now Oklahoma City, that was just white. Yeah, I'm talking about Texas.
Like a Klan rally. All of that beers like me. Is this the right show? No, but since there was an awesome crowd, man. They showed us a lot of love, man. They, you know, I mean, does racism exist? Yes, but not like how they make it out to be.
Yeah.
White people don't care about race. They just want to be left alone. They want to keep their rights.
Yeah.
And that's why they support us. They don't care about race. That has nothing to do with
it. I don't want to say it, man, but I mean, the tables are flipped, man. Like back in the day, 70s, 80s, a majority of white people, I mean, not a majority, but, you know, a majority of the time when you saw racism, you saw it coming from a white person, you know. Mm-hmm. Now you see it normally from blacks and nobody says anything.
Yeah. Yep.
They say the most racist thing and it just flies over everybody's head like it never happened in the past.
Yeah, it's because they changed the definition, as they've done with many other things. They've literally, you know.
It doesn't even have a meaning these days.
Yeah, well, they say it does, but they'll say it's, what do they say it is? It's prejudice plus power now. So, you know, you hear people openly saying, well, black people can't be racist, which is a pretty wild get out of jail free card as far as I'm concerned.
Bullshit. Black people are some racist ass people. I can show you my inbox.
Yeah.
These niggas might as well wear a damn Klan outfit.
It's, man, it's weird. It's weird. I've been on the receiving end of that myself several times online, and it's a weird thing. And I have to say, it's also from black Americans specifically. This isn't from people. I've got tons of followers all across Africa. I've got black followers in the UK, etc. But it's a particularly, I don't even want to say it's a black American mindset, because I don't think most black Americans are like that. But that attitude is amongst a certain demographic of the black American population. Even racism towards, say, black people from other countries, like, you know, African countries, there's a schism there where, you know, it's a weird, it's a very weird concept and a weird thing to experience, where on one hand you've got people saying like, oh, you know, we need to uplift this community, and, you know, these are people who are decrying racism and whatever, and then they'll be so quick with any, you know, you disagree with them or you feel different politically or socially or whatever, and the guns come out blazing. It's very weird.
Yeah. Like some of the nicest people you meet, man, is from Africa. It's like, it's the American black that has the majority of the issues with other blacks being Republican or conservative. Like majority of the time when you meet somebody from from Africa. This like totally different mindset, totally different people than some of the nicest people you ever meet. But you sit down to somebody from like a black from our urban neighborhoods, it's like, what the hell happened? It's like night and day. Yeah. It's like that immigrant from Africa, they haven't been brainwashed by media. And then you sit down with somebody here from America, it's like some of the things they say, it's just anybody with any rational mind or any common sense are like, man, just listen to what you're saying. It doesn't even make sense. You know, it's like talking to a brick wall, really.
Yeah, it's really interesting because obviously, I'm from the UK. I'm British and Nigerian, so I'm not a black American. But it's really interesting because I think that the sort of story of black America and black Americans, whilst, of course, it stems back to some of the most horrible stuff in human history, I think to me it's very much a story of triumph, right? It's very much a story of a group of people like really, really overcoming some very significant obstacles and discrimination and true racism and all of that. And I think that if the story were framed as one of triumph more than one of just indefinite permanent victimhood into the year 3000, then I think that would shift a lot of people's perspectives because you can recognize history and you can also recognize how history can have an impact on certain people in communities today. But it's another thing to have this permanent, woe is me, I'm a victim, you know, white people are evil narrative. You know, the people I see talking the most about white supremacy these days, it's either woke white people, or it's people who are, you know, black people who are stuck in this sort of victim mentality. And I think the reason it bothers me is because I think it's very, very disempowering.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's like one of the reasons why we came out as conservative, but we targeted it to black community and look what happened.
Yeah.
It's like, it's really frustrating because I'm out here telling you can, if you empower yourself, you can be successful in this country. And it's like when I say that, oh man, you're just trying to please the white man. You tap dance, you dance for the white man. It's like the white man has nothing to do with this.
Yeah.
I mean, that's if there's millions of immigrants in other countries across the world, they will gladly replace each and every black person in this country.
Yeah. They say they want to be African. I was like, hey, let's do a trade then.
Yeah.
They ain't trying to go to Africa.
Yeah. I have African ancestry, but I don't even like that term African American.
Yeah,
because it just signifies that you have like two nationalities. I'm African by ancestry.
Yeah,
but I'm not African American. I'm just American.
Yeah,
white people don't do that. But the politicians, the media, then painted us as African American because they don't want you to ever forget your ancestors were slaves, and you're gonna always need our help because there's still racist white people out there. And that's the whole point of like framing us as African American.
Yeah. To make us different, to separate us from other Americans.
Yeah, that's why. You can be white in Africa. You're just born in Africa. I was never born in Africa. I'm just a stupid American.
Yeah, and you tell other black liberals that, man, they laugh at you. Yeah, and the reason why they're laughing is the same reason why Kamala Harris laughed, because they don't have an answer. They try to laugh it off. Yeah. There's no way a black person in this country can call yourself an African when you're born in America. You never set foot in Africa. You don't even know how many continents in Africa. You don't know that culture.
How many continents in Africa?
I mean, not continents, they're countries.
Countries.
You don't even know how many countries in Africa. Yeah. And they call themselves African. You're not.
You don't know their cultures, their customs. You're just an American, but
You can't put one of them 50-gallon jugs of water in your head and walk 10 feet. And to be African, you got to be able to walk 2 miles of that shit.
Man, I think I'm British then. Maybe I need to revoke my Nigerian citizenship.
Yeah. I think
we have answered. Like, you have answered.
Hey, I think it's disrespectful for me to call myself African when somebody actually comes from Africa and migrate here. That person has a right to call himself an African-American.
Yeah.
If you're born here, you have no right to say that. No right. And I think it's disrespectful for you to call yourself an African when you don't have no culture. You didn't originate there. You wasn't born there. You're in the same. I will put you in the same light as Elizabeth Warren. I would. Because you're not African.
Africa just means nationality. It doesn't mean your race. Yeah. You were just born there. That's that, why that I call myself an American. I'm black. That's my race.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm American by nationality. And that's what African American. That's not a race. That's your nationality that they painted you with.
I hear that.
And let me reiterate, if you're from this country, you're from Chicago, I don't care how dark skinned you are, you're still just a stupid black American.
One thing I noticed, one big difference between the UK and the US while we're on this topic is the labels, like the labels and the racialism.
Yeah, it's a US thing.
Yeah, it's really a US thing. You know, the what's the word? Wanting to put a prefix on everything, right? White American, Black American, African American, right. Asian American, Hispanic American, so on and so forth. People really like these labels, especially when it comes to race. In the UK, it would sound really, really weird if I said that I was African British or even Black British, unless I'm doing a census form or something.
Right.
And they ask for ethnicity, then, you know, it might put African / Black British. But in everyday conversation or on the news or in the media, people here just don't talk that way. And in the US, it's in everything.
When we visited the United Kingdom, we've been out several times. It's more like a class structure there. It's no race. It's no demographic. It's more about, you know, rich, poor, middle class. Mm. You know, that's what I found, the United Kingdom to be. It has nothing to do with your race or nationality or anything.
That's just an agenda pushed here in the States.
Yeah. Absolutely. How did you guys do how did your conversion from being liberal to being conservative come about? What was the story?
Well, being very black, simple. We just picked up a book. I opened a book, read two pages. I mean, I'm concerned.
if you're
one stupid son of a bitch. I don't know how anybody could be liberal. Liberalism is nothing more than an art of victimizing yourself every day by your differences. Yeah. Conservatism is all about freedom. It's all about creating the best ideas. Working hard, entrepreneurship, conservatism empowers people. I don't know why on earth anybody would consider themselves to be a liberal, progressive, or anything.
Being black here in America, we're raised to be like Democrats because they, I don't know, because you know my mama was a good woman, but she didn't know shit about politics. Matter of fact, looking back, mama's stupid as hell. She loved Obama when she was alive. I said, mama, take that black man off your shirt. That man is evil.
Yeah, my mom had Obama shirt. She wore that shit 365 days a year.
Yeah, but it was cool when he got elected. I was like, man, because it showed me that in America, you could be anything you want to be.
And that was the last time I voted Democrat. Yeah. It was for that some bitch.
But if you just sit back and listen to both sides.
Yeah.
I mean, both sides got garbage that comes with them. But if you sit and listen to both sides, the right, you keep your rights, you keep your freedoms. With the left, it's all about victimization and getting somebody else's money to help you.
Yeah.
You have the power to help yourself.
Yeah. Why would anybody vote for high taxes?
That's crazy as hell. Joe Biden ran on that. I'm going to raise your taxes and raise your goals. Like in the past, whenever a president said that was going to raise taxes, that hurt that re-election. Yeah. This dude gets 81 million votes. The most of all time, he told everybody he's raising your taxes.
Yeah. And they want to raise taxes even more.
Oh, yeah, I mean, of course.
It's ridiculous. If everybody sat down and added up what you pay in state, federal, sales tax, tax you pay on your gas, tax you pay on whenever you're buying something. I mean, a majority of our check is going to the government, and you're not going to see any return on that. None of that. All you're doing is making those salaries of these politicians better, greater. They're not going to help you, just making your government much more powerful. And these people on the left talking about they want to take away all the power from police and government. Why the hell you keep voting liberal? I mean, it's just stupid.
Yeah, the thing is, people like to be taken care of. I mean, one of the biggest realizations I've had, I already sensed it. You know, I always thought that the notion that people valued liberty and freedom more than they do the illusion of safety and security. I always suspected that even in the West, that was a little bit of a myth. But the past 2 years have shown me entirely that that is just not the truth, whether you're looking at the USA or Western Europe, UK, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, looking at all the craziness going on now. It's very, very clear to me that most people value the illusion of safety and security more than they truly value liberty and individualism and being able to make their own choices and decisions. It's never been more clear to me.
Yeah. And you know something that's more clear to me than ever? I didn't realize how stupid people are. I mean, people are really dumb.
Yeah.
The people on the left, that arguments, it's like after I hear that argument, I just want to take my head and bash it into a brick wall. These people, like the whole Kyle Rittenhouse thing, this is white supremacy. He didn't kill no black people.
It's
wild. He has no ties to white supremacy. And they, I'm like, what the?
It's crazy to say you got a kid getting attacked by grown adults and that's white supremacy.
Dude, it's wild. I don't know if you saw in the independent newspaper here in the UK, and also I was told by supporters in Germany and other countries, you know, they reported in the independent in the UK, they reported this week that he shot three black BLM protesters. That's what they said in the mainstream media. That's what they said. I mean, they want to talk about people spreading disinformation and misinformation. I mean, and this thing happened a year ago. So you know, you've had time to get your facts straight, and it's just wild how they can do that.
But this is the thing. The media knows how stupid people are. Yeah. People are stupid.
Yeah, people don't double-check anything. I double-check everything I hear from Fox.
People are so easily manipulated. They're just dumb.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't even know how these dudes function, these people. They're dumb for you to fall for something. Even the one guy that got shot, he was screaming the N-word before Kyle Rittenhouse shot him.
Right.
Just like, get that.
he called him nigga.
Get that nigga.
Yeah.
White boy run after another white boy saying, get that nigga.
And this is someone who's been convicted of raping five children.
Kids.
Yeah. These are all of them are felons.
Man, and that's what I'm saying. People are dumb. You're going to stand on that hill and fight that battle with that pedophile.
Right.
And you're looking at a 17-year-old kid, 16, 17, however old he
was. Who's being attacked.
Who's being chased. I mean, who chases a white boy with a rifle? And then when you get that, you pick up your skateboard.
Skateboard.
I mean, shouldn't have never went across. Like,
that's not.
People are so. I want to cuss on your show so much. I'm effing stupid.
Yeah, that's not. That's not white supremacy. That's Darwinism. You were meant to die that way.
And I don't get it. And we talked about that case. And I'm getting messages from black people.
Yeah.
Calling me a Sambo or sellout or I should die.
And you ought to see the black celebrities, comedians, actors. They're going in on this little boy, basketball player, LeBron James. Mm-hmm. I'm like, if you just sit down and look at the facts of the case, I told black people, just imagine Kyle Rittenhouse, black, put some gold teeth in his mouth, turn his hat backwards, tell him to start sagging his pants, give him a pair of Yeezys, gold chain, and relook at the video and see if you see a difference. Because they're so blinded by their own racism, they didn't see a 16-year-old kid being attacked by three grown felons.
Yeah.
I mean, if you just take, fuck it. I'm telling you, man, liberals, they're just stupid.
They're just not very smart people.
Yeah, and I'm not saying conservatives are these bright intellectuals and,
compared to them, they are.
Yeah.
The thing is, though,
you like Socrates?
One thing that's really shifted, though, and I mean, you know, I'm more politically engaged now than I was, say, 15 years ago or, you know, 10 years ago. But if I think back to the Democratic Party when I was growing up, I think of, like, you know, the Bill Clinton administration, even the Obama administration, they were not this crazy. Like the difference between the Republican Party and the Democratic Party, or the left and the right, or however you want to put it, has really widened in the past decade. It wasn't, you know, there's always been differences and conflict and whatever, but it's like in the past 10 years, I mean, I don't even use it for a lot of the people you're talking. I don't even use the term liberal because a lot, we're talking authoritarian leftism. Even if you're looking at all the COVID policies and whatever, it's like, there's nothing liberal about this. Like, Ron DeSantis is being liberal. Greg Abbott is being liberal, right? If you think of what the word is supposed to mean, it's supposed to be based on freedom, individual rights, civil liberties, equal treatment. I mean, they're pushing segregation. They're pushing, you know, locking people in their houses. These are the my body, my choice people. They're trying to force injections on people, all of this stuff. And it's just like, what's happened in that 10 to 15 year period where you've gone from 2008 with Obama, whether someone likes Obama or not, you can't honestly say that him and his party is the same as what we're dealing with now with, you know, the squad and all these just crazy people.
Yeah, I think a majority of the problem is, you know, if you look at the Republicans and conservatives, for the most part, they're pretty much the same, I would say, last 10 years. Nothing too crazy has changed about them. It's the same policies, same structure. But when you look at everything that's been happening with the Democrats, it's been a drastic change with them. I mean, huge change. I mean, they, like you said, back in Clinton, Obama, it wasn't, things weren't like they were
both
now.
Both almost against illegal immigration, stuff like that. It was like, it was just little nuances. Supposedly the Democrat was going to help, you know, minorities more.
Right. And everybody knows that's bullshit.
But they, but it's, I think that's what's pushing the divide now, though.
Yeah.
I they, got, they use that, shut up, let me keep going. Like, they use that racial divide, our differences, to push these progressive agendas.
Yeah.
They use, they divide us to break us up. That's how they gain the power. That's why you got 100 genders. You got, you know what I mean? You got 100 genders. You got, man.
I think the majority of the problem is mainstream media. They're not really doing that job. But I think the majority of the problems we're having now is because the left, they just went too far left.
Hey, you know what's
way
ironic?
Too far left.
You know what's ironic about this? Nah, I ain't gonna say it. I shouldn't say it.
What would you gonna say?
Nah, it's too far right.
It's too far.
It's gonna be a joke, but it's taking it too far. I'm gonna say it. No racist white people like the Klan. You better not let them black people get rights. Then look what happened. Get a black president. Look what happened. It's been downhill ever since. White supremacists in Alabama right now. Oh, you got these. Hey, you know what, Zuby? When Obama came president, I said, man, finally black people gonna realize, hey, you just work hard. Nah, now they trying to say this is the most racist country on earth right now.
Yeah, how can a black man get elected?
Yeah, explain that, Zuby. If this country's so racist, how the hell did a black man beat a white woman and a white man? And the majority of this country is white.
Yeah, he beat a white woman in primary.
Yeah.
I mean, for the Democrat, and then he beat two white dudes.
He got done. He got.
I mean, these are real white dudes. They're like white.
Like George Washington.
McCain.
He came out there with his name Barack Hussein Obama.
Looked like a damn terrorist. And he won.
And he won. How, if his country's, how do you win an election? Your name is Barack Hussein Obama.
Yeah. And if this country's racist.
Science.
It's not racist.
Yeah, it can't be. The
majority of people in this country are great people.
Yeah. How can, he won the popular vote and the Electoral College.
Yeah.
How does that happen in a racist country? It's impossible.
Yeah. No, but one thing is though, once the narrative is there.
I'm just joking. What the hell's wrong with this dude, sir? What the hell's wrong with you?
Stupid, man.
Get serious on this.
Yeah. It's wild though. I mean, with a lot of the narrative, and I know this is gonna lead into your new book, but it seems like they're really, really pushing to, you know, racism has been on life support for a long, long time. And they're just shocking it and trying to keep it alive. It's almost like, you know, I call a lot of the woke stuff, I just call it neo-racism, right? A lot of what they call anti-racism, I'm just like, this is just neo-racism. They've just inverted it slightly and, you know, changed the target, I mean, sometimes, you know, you'll hear some of these woke, super woke people talking and I'm like, man, you're using the exact same rhetoric as an actual like Klan member or something. I can't even differentiate between what you're saying and the way that you're talking down to, you know, calling people BIPOC and POC and, you know, in the UK we have BAME, BAME, which stands for like Black and Minority Ethnic. So they're just giving people these acronyms and I'm just like, why do you just need a term that means not white, right? Unless you're actually in the Klan, why do you need this term?
Again, they credit them. They may be stupid, but they at least they're creative.
Very,
very creative. But
yeah. So I want to talk a little bit about your new book. So you guys have written a children's book. Is that right?
Yeah, I would have never thought in a million years I'd be selling a children's book. Yeah, we gotta get these niggas when they're young, man. Gotta catch these niggas as soon as they come out of the womb.
Yeah, like.
like we co-authored a book with Brave Books, right?
Yeah.
And now Brave Books was founded by like conservative parents, and they became aware that, you know, that on the left they've taken control of all media, whether it be the schools, mainstream media, colleges, and they're pushing this progressive agenda. That's why Brave Books was started. Mm-hmm. So to push traditional values on this new next generation of kids, because yeah. right now the only people reaching out to them is the progressive left. And that's mm-hmm. why Brave Books was started.
Yeah.
They're incentivized to, hey, to kids, adults, to use traditional values when it comes about judging people. Like that CRT creating, they say, was it critical race theory? I think it's more like creating racial tension, because you're going to have a lot of black people looking at white people like they're crazy. And then you're going to have white people looking at black people like, man, what the hell's wrong with you people? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just stupid the way everybody look at things. So we wrote this book to teach kids not to judge people by the color of their skin, or as opposed to our book, it's about three cheetahs, not to judge them on the color of their fur.
Yeah. Okay.
So to judge people. You got spotted cheetahs and you got striped cheetahs.
Yeah.
and it's directed more at kids. Like talking to a kid about CRT, like,
yeah,
what the hell are you talking about, man? And the foundation of this book is just the spotted cheetahs are, you know, they're feuding with the striped cheetahs. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. they think the striped cheetahs are out to get them, and they rig the race against them. So yeah. it's to help kids look at somebody by the content of their character, not by the color of the skin. Yeah, what Martin Luther King. I mean, what's wrong with what Martin Luther King stood for?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Judge people by the content of their character. Their skin, your gender, none of that matters.
Yeah.
You can be nice and white. You can be nice and black. It doesn't matter.
You can be evil and black, evil and white. It doesn't, it's not based on your skin color. It's more about that person's character and how they think and feel about other people.
Yeah, but see, CRT's out here to divide us. That's all it's there for. It's to make black people feel like they're inferior.
Right.
That's the only reason. This is all about power.
Yeah, and that whole white privilege term, that's just, man, if you actually believe that, well, I can understand why people believe, because they're stupid, but yeah, just, I mean, white privilege. Somebody's privileged because they're white.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
I've seen white homeless people. I've seen,
I mean, everybody's got privilege. Barack Obama's kids are privileged.
Of course.
LeBron James, he's privileged. His kids are privileged.
Mm-hmm.
How about O.J. Simpson? He killed two white people. R. Kelly, he's been pissing on black kids for decades. Yeah, privilege. Privilege knows no color.
Yeah, privilege. Privilege doesn't. It doesn't have a race. It's not even human. It's just a word. Mm-hmm. But that's what they do on the left.
Yeah,
these people are very talented. They're very creative, and they know dumb people just don't get it.
And a lot of people just do not think for themselves. They rather for somebody on the TV with a suit to tell them what's going on. They don't want to take the time and the energy just to think for themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, like, I think it's hitting people's.
On the week.
Yeah, I think it's hitting people's emotional buttons and taking advantage of existing grievances, right? And I think another thing that they do, which is very slick, is that it gives people a permanent alibi, right? Right. So if you can convince yourself that the system, whatever the system is or the structure, is rigged against you, then you have a permanent alibi for any type of failure. Right.
Because
you can just say, you've got a permanent excuse. So I think the reason why people get so angry at people like yourselves or at, you know, Candace Owens or any prominent, say black conservative, especially in the USA, is because you are removing the alibi of millions and millions of people. You see the same thing happening with feminism, right? You can blame everything on the patriarchy, blame everything. You don't even define what the patriarchy is. You just say that there's this thing out there in the ether called the patriarchy, and it's holding down women. So then if you fail, if you don't get your way in anything, you can always just come back and you can blame that thing. If you're black, you can always blame systemic or structural or institutional racism. Yeah. You can blame, well, hey, man, the system's white supremacist. So, you know, how am I supposed to succeed when the system is all rigged against me? And it totally... it's a complete alibi for any kind of personal responsibility or individual decision making. Even I mean, I've seen the wildest things blamed on institutional racism or, you know, white supremacy or whatever, when there's no white people even involved in the picture, just like they've done with the inverse with the Kyle Rittenhouse thing, where they somehow turned it into a black issue despite the fact that there's no black people involved. And man, as you said, it's creative. Like I almost, as much as I hate it, I almost have to give them some kind of props for the sheer, it's voodoo, it's like witchcraft. It's like, how have you managed to take this issue and twist it so hard into this other thing, and you've now got millions of people just believing something that's the opposite of what it was?
Yeah, people are just really, really dumb. And this goes to show you the people that's pushing that narrative, that agenda, that plot, they don't really care about this country or bringing us together. They say they do, but actions speak way louder than words. You see people that spewing this garbage, it's just pure evil. They are the most anti-American.
But it's like, how dumb do you got to be to believe this? I don't know how these people function.
What's wild though?
Yeah, like they say, they call Trump a white supremacist, racist, and you look at some of the things Joe Biden said, like that white guy said niggas don't even know how to use a computer.
Oh man.
They can't get, like, he said, like, how stupid you got to be. You can't find a DMV and get an ID card. Yeah.
Nope.
And nobody says anything.
He said, black people can't find out where to get vaccinated, so we're going to go knock on your house.
Like, they can't read. And nobody says anything.
Yeah.
He says some of the most condescending, racist things about black
Imagine
people.
Imagine if Trump said that. Look, black people don't know how to use a computer. We got to reach out to the black people. Go to the houses. I mean, what if he said that?
Yeah, that ain't peace his ass.
Yeah. Man, it's so wild, man. What do you guys think is the way through this? How, I mean, are you still, here's a question. Are you still trying to reach people like this, or have you kind of just said, screw it, we're not going to be able to reach them?
I mean, I'm not really targeting them. I mean, they're going to see it because black people love to watch black people and see what they're doing. Because I know I have a lot of black people watching me. I know.
Sure.
Because I got like cousins, look, such and such shirt this with me. This is your cousin. They talking about you behind your back. So it's like, I just choose to put the message out there.
Yeah.
I think we've did a great job in reaching white liberals.
Yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Because they'll at least sit back and listen.
The hardest thing is to help anybody or any intervention or anything. If they're not listening, willing to put in the work, you might as well be talking to a damn vegetable.
So it's like we continue to put the message out. I think it's important to see black people like us putting the message out there.
Yeah.
Because if it's not us or you or other black people, who you got? Snoop Dogg? Black entertainers?
Yeah. And the reason why a majority of black people are as stupid as they are, and they are stupid. I mean, it's no way around it. Our communities are some of the dumbest people on this earth.
The only way
that's going to change is because of our culture. Our TV shows need to change. Our entertainers need to put out a better message. They need to start thinking a lot more before they put out things. It's just the whole culture that's around black people, Hollywood, mainstream media, celebrities. Until these people wake up and generally start to think what's better for black folks before they say anything, I mean, that's never going to change. The black community is never going to get better until Hollywood and Democrats take their hold off of them and actually preach to them the right things in life.
But why would they want to do that? Because
that's never going to change with blacks. Never.
Yeah, but there's no reason why they would be incentivized to do that. They're incentivized to do the opposite because they want to keep power and keep votes coming in. I think one thing, you know, I'd be hesitant to, you know, call so many people stupid, but I think that the big problem to me is,
they stupid, man.
No, not the majority of them.
Well, 90% of them voted for Biden. What else you want me to say?
I'll tell you what I think it is. I think it's emotionality. I think it's emotionality. Yeah. And I think that is how the left. Yeah. You know, the left side of the political. Yeah, the left side of the political aisle is great at capturing emotionality, right? And as much as people like to think that they're logical and they're rational and whatever, the truth is a huge percentage of people, if not most people, are largely driven by emotion, right? They make emotional decisions first, and then they kind of use their brain to rationalize it later. So they often just go with whatever makes them feel good, or this thing makes them outraged, or it makes them angry, or whatever. I mean, look, even if you look at a lot of the criticisms of Donald Trump, right? I think that what he did is he really kind of split people along the emotionality, over the emotionality line, right? I kind of think the same thing's happening with the whole COVID pandemic situation. And it's kind of like people who are able to kind of stay calm and look at things more objectively and kind of remove your emotions from the picture,
right,
versus just going with like raw feeling. You know, a lot of the criticisms of Trump have very little to do with his policies or like things he really did. Right. It's more how he made people feel. He made a lot of people feel bad. You know, I don't like the way he looks. I don't like the way he talks. I don't like, you know, his tweets make me angry. It's this and that. It's not really, you know, and I can understand some of those criticisms, but I'm like, well, if you look beyond that, I mean, again, I'm an outsider. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. But in terms of actually being a president, in terms of the actual policies, and like you guys were saying, leaving people alone,
right?
Trump was clearly way better than Biden.
Yeah, clearly. I think a lot of it too, when it comes to why I say black people are so stupid, it's just like I get frustrated, and I say that because when it comes to you becoming an adult, you have to stop thinking based on emotion. I think that's the black community has to just grow up, because if you're still living your life based on your emotions, then you're not an adult yet. Mm. And a lot of blacks need to grow up and look at things for what they really are. I understand where you're coming from about Trump. He doesn't say the most nicest things, but then you got the media who takes those things, spin it to make him look like even like a worse person. Mm-hmm. When at the very initial beginning, when he made those statements, he's actually, you know, putting people in that spot or they're fighting for our country. He's standing up for what true Americans believe in.
Yeah.
And when he's critical about the whole Kaepernick situation, I can understand why that would upset some people, but you got to understand you got to look at two things from both directions. Mm-hmm. He thinks what you're doing is wrong. I mean, even though you might have the right to do so, it's just a different perspective. And then you have mainstream media just taking his opinions, what he's expressing, just twisting around. I think a majority of the problems that we have in this country is because of mainstream media. Everyone's got an agenda. Everybody wants to paint a different picture.
Yeah, but like what you're saying, Malcolm X said all this stuff before they killed him. He was calling black people stupid.
Yeah.
Why y'all keep voting for Democrats? It's not going to change your life.
Right.
I mean, he was very vocal about that, Democrats.
And when he said that 2 days later, he was shot and killed. He used the exact same words I'm using now.
Yeah, he was calling them dumb, and they was clapping. Yeah, we some stupid people. Yeah. You the man, Malcolm. And he put that message out there, and and what we in 2021? It's been 80 years later.
Yeah.
Nothing's changed. It's got worse.
You can't sugarcoat what's going on in the black community. You can't. You have to show these people tough love. Until they wake up and start thinking more objectively and cut away their emotions and start being accountable for their situations, they just need to wake up.
How strongly connected do you think that is with something we were talking about earlier, which is father absenteeism? Because as we know, broadly speaking, that ability to manage one's emotions tends to come more from the masculine side than the feminine side. So I wonder if this is, it to some degree, related to the sort of absence of masculinity and male role models. And so people perhaps in some ways, and I think you see this spring out in various ways, people just not knowing how to control their emotions, whether it's anger or it's frustration or it's aggression or it's just like, you know.
I think that's a great point, because if you look at a majority of people that's in prison, they didn't have a dad, whether they're white, black, or brown.
Yep.
So that is a huge part of the problem. It's definitely, statistically proven that if you grow up in a single family household where there's no dad, chances are you're going to have a life of crime.
Yeah, but I think overall it's just our culture at the end of it. It's in our TV shows, it's in our movies, it's in our music, it's in everything we see.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
there's no other demographic that tells black people if you sound a certain way, you're trying to be white.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's no other race on this planet that says that to each other.
Right.
As a black person, you got to look, talk, dress, and act a certain way. If you're not, you're trying to be white.
That's a cultural thing. Yeah, that's why I say a lot of our ignorance and stupidity is from our own, is self-inflicted. I mean, we created this. All these shows that we got on TV, our music, everything that's around our culture is green-lighted by white people, white liberals. Yeah. And I don't think that's by coincidence. That's why I call these people stupid, because I want to make them upset. I want them to listen to me. It's not like that I'm trying to put them down or I hate black people. And say, no, you're stupid. I was stupid. I was stupid for majority of my life until I looked in the mirror and I said, I'm going to do something with my life. Everything that happens to me is because of me and not because of some imaginary white man in a suit that's a white supremacist. I hold my own life and my own destiny. I just have to work hard. I have to come up with make better decisions and come up with better ideas to improve my life. Nobody's going to give you that.
Hey, I remember when I was younger, I remember I went to I think it was a Macy's. I went there, right? And I was like, I'm going to apply for credit. Because the dude in front of me, the woman asked me, can't say you want to apply for credit? And when I got up there, she didn't say nothing. I said, hey, I want to apply for some credit. So I applied for the credit card, right? He got it. I got turned down. I was like, man, this is white supremacy. But that's because I was ignorant at the time. Yeah. I had horrible credit.
You know what? No, you being too nice. You were stupid at the time.
Yeah, I didn't. I just thought it was something to do with my race. But because I was young, I was ignorant. It would have been easy for somebody to manipulate how I think.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you're young, that's why when people vote the first time around, typically they always vote Democrat. Why? Because they're stupid. They're ignorant. They just whatever.
Yeah.
But
that race card is very powerful. That's the main reason why a majority of black people vote how they vote. They want to say it's because of policies, but they can't emphasize on what that policy is. It's always the right is racist and Democrats are for blacks, which is total lie. Nobody's for blacks. Conservatives are not for blacks and liberals are not for blacks. Those people are for themselves. They want your vote. Yes. That's the only reason why they're up there talking and saying all these nice things.
Yeah.
They don't give a shit about nobody majority of times about anybody.
Yeah. The only thing that's out there for black people is the Constitution.
Yeah,
they don't even use it. They don't even know it exists, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah, until the hold that's on black people, until they wake up and they empower themselves and they stop thinking on emotion, and until Hollywood and mainstream media, which I know they're never going to do, but, you know, the main reasons why we became conservatives, because I have an older brother that he was conservative. He was Republican. I thought he was just Uncle Tom at the time, but he put that little seed in my ear, you know. I started listening. I came across Ben Shapiro. I couldn't stand his white ass. Man, this white man's smart as shit. This is white privilege. This is some bullshit. This white man's got an answer for everything. But the more I listen to Ben Shapiro, the more he made sense. The more I listen to Larry Elder, the more sense he made.
Yeah, at first when was listening to Ben, says, y'all get him. Get this white man. Yeah, Ben, get that nigga. Get that dumb nigga. Then we was like listening to Larry Elder.
Yeah.
I came across Candace Owens, which made me feel like I was going crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I came across you on Twitter. It's like, man, I'm not the only black person out here that thinks this way.
Yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want less taxes, less government, more rights, freedom of speech, freedom to carry a firearm? I don't go anywhere without my gun on me. I mean, it's just, I don't understand why people don't want to have their own individual freedoms and rights to do what they want.
It's kind of like what Zuby said, man.
What did Zuby say?
They want somebody to take care of. Want somebody to take care of. Give them some security. Yeah. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think it's, I think modern Western society has become infantilized in many, many ways. And I think that with that comes that childish desire to always be taken care of. And as well, if you want to get a little bit deeper, I think if you remove God and religion from the equation, then the highest thing is the state, right? The highest thing is the state. It's the government. That's the highest power. And that's the moral authority. And that's what it is. And so, you know, I think as human beings, people always look up, right? We're hierarchical creatures, right? And it's like, okay, look up. And if the thing at the top is, you know, some politician or some celebrity, you know, whatever it is, then that's what a lot of people, not everybody, but a lot of people are gonna latch onto that. But if you believe that there's something, you know, either that or they're at the top, right? So either it's like you're at the top or the government's at the top. But I think that's part of the reason why, you know, in every country, let alone in the USA for sure, you know, more religious people tend to be more conservative. I think there's a lot of reasons for it, but I think part of it is this notion that you're the highest authority isn't the government. The highest authority is not the state, and it's not yourself, right? There's something above all that, and that's where your rights also come from. So if the government is trying to take away this right or take away that right or infringe on this or infringe on that, it's like, no, that's not where, you know, you're not my daddy. Whereas to other people, it's like, yeah, the government is my daddy. This politician is going to take care of me. And even though no matter how many times they prove that they're not going to take care of you, people still want to believe in this dream. You know, they still want to believe that Santa Claus is coming and bringing them their gifts. And, you know, every 4 years, cool, maybe we can switch Santa Claus. But it never materializes.
This whole pandemic would open a lot of people's eyes, you know, because during this pandemic, I mean, I think every country, we're this close to having every man for himself, because cops were stopped responding to certain calls. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, we was this close to like every man for himself. And I tell people the state can't protect you. You have to take that upon yourself to take care of yourself. That's why we have the Second Amendment.
I mean, you saw that firsthand with the riots and stuff.
Right.
Cops didn't show up. Like if the cops was in, that incident with Kyle Rittenhouse, the cops were out there doing their job, it would have never came to that.
Yeah.
No.
You know, but the cops can't protect everybody. It's not enough of them.
Yeah. It doesn't make sense, because, you know, the left, they want to do away with a lot of police. They want to do away with the Second Amendment. I mean, if things go wrong and every man's for himself, who's going to protect you? You can't. You just vote away your right to protect yourself.
Yeah.
You vote away all your rights for a police officer to take care of you. And there's not that many police to begin with. They can't take care of everybody.
Mm.
I understand people don't like guns, but guns are like insurance. You don't want it until you need it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't necessarily like having to walk around with a firearm, but I have to, because of my damn inbox. And these niggas making threats. So I have to walk around firearm. I don't necessarily like it, but that's my right, and I have to take it upon myself to protect me and my family. No police officer can do that. Only I can do that. Until people wake up, like, the state cannot protect you. They can't.
That's powerful. I mean, I actually posted something on Twitter today. It's going viral right now, where I said that it's possible that the only thing standing between the population of the world and complete global tyranny is the USA's Second Amendment.
Yep.
Which is...
That's absolutely deep. True, because as soon as we lose that, everything else is gone.
And it's not theoretical. It's not theoretical anymore either, because we're seeing what's happening. And, you know, if you look at places like Australia, Canada, even some of the blue states in the USA, New Zealand, some parts of Western Europe, it's like, hey, you know, not so long ago, Australians and New Zealanders were bragging about giving in their citizens' guns. And less than 10 years later, you know, I think just a few years later in New Zealand's case, the government is completely turning on people. They're shipping people off to camps now. Australia just announced that they're now, if you test positive with the Rona in certain provinces, they're shipping you out to a camp. They got the army out there. Like, it's wild. It's crazy. They haven't been able to come or go out of their country for 21 months now. Like, it's
I don't think that would ever happen in the United States. If they did away with the Second Amendment, it would be a civil war in this country.
There you go. Exactly. So
we see what's going on in other countries. That's the main reason why we had a civil war with the North and the South, is because of against tyranny, against the British. It's like, if people read their damn history books, they'll realize how important the Second Amendment, the First Amendment is.
Yeah. The British went to civil war, don't you?
Say what?
The British.
You get what the fuck I'm saying. That Second Amendment, that First Second Amendment is the most important thing. The most important thing. Once you lose that Second Amendment, it's so much easier for them to take away your First Amendment.
Yeah, and I think this is the thing.
Yeah, the Revolutionary War.
No doubt. So the book,
one of them damn wars.
So the book you guys have out now, is that available now? Tell people more about it and where they can get it.
Yeah, it's at hogstwins.bravebooks.us or bravebooks.com. It's a children's book, and they have a whole series of books.
Yeah.
It's because the founders of Brave Books, they're conservative parents, and they realize that there's a real war for the hearts and minds of this generation's kids.
Yeah.
And they created this alternative platform to push more traditional ideas and not all this progressive woke stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have all kinds of books. It comes to the Second Amendment, CRT with our book. And it's just to give kids a foundation of traditional values that's always worked in this country.
It's like a subscription service where you get a new book every month.
Yeah, for your kids. Yeah.
Awesome. And what's the what's the name of the book?
More Than Spots and Stripes. You actually got a...
Hey, there we go.
There we go.
There we go. If you're watching the video, then you can see that right there.
More Than Spots and Stripes. Get that good sideways action.
Hey,
look at that damn stripe supremacy right there.
That's a great book. It's got a great message behind it.
Yeah, and it's even exercises in the back where the kids can participate with their parents and stuff. So it's
okay,
like a whole interaction with your kids, your mom, your dad, family. It brings family together and just, you know, preaches their traditional values and things.
That's
like
awesome, man. Before we wrap this up, I have to know what was the origin of your famous twin muscle workout video intro? How did that come about?
The intro?
The intro. What's the story of that intro?
I don't know. I don't even know how that shit started.
Keith was just clowning. He just started. We would cut on the camera. He would just do something different every day, and it just materialized into this great local.
Yeah, it all started with I cut the camera on, and I wasn't real good at editing, so I would just make sure I look good for it. Yeah, man, that was crazy. I look back at those guys. We look insane. Like, man, I just watched the videos for the intros and outros.
Oh man, those intros, those used to kill me, man. And then the coming out the bushes on him.
Man, come on, the bushes. Stab him. How that even came about?
Yeah, I know.
Who's that? I would be sitting on the porch sipping lemonade on after church with grandma. And who's that coming out my driveway? Come out the bushes, though. Damn. It's just really weird, man.
Yeah. We're just goofing off and having fun.
Yeah. That's awesome, man. No doubt. Dude, it's been an absolute pleasure and an honor to talk to you guys. We'd love to have you on the show again in the future. Where can people check you out online? I know you're on everything. What's the best place for people to go?
Best place would be YouTube Conservatory. I don't think that they're like... not keeping our message from getting out too much over there, because Facebook, that used to be an amazing platform for us. We'd put up a video and it would get millions of views within like a couple hours. Now we're lucky to get 300,000 views with 6 million subscribers.
Facebook almost took away that we was like threatening to be an unpublished. Facebook was so popular one time, we was getting close to 20 million views a day.
Wow.
We was getting like 100,000 new followers a day, and then they started hitting us with white supremacy and fake... I was like, and he said I was homophobic. I was like, man, I'm the least homophobic person on this planet. I love gay people. I ain't got nothing against wrong homosexuals.
Don't try to make me a homosexual. Push your agenda on me and my kids.
Yeah, for the record, I'm not racist. I'm not homophobic. I love everybody. I just hate stupid people. Yeah, I really hate stupid people.
I want to bring this up. Socrates. I started reading some philosophy over here.
Oh, yeah.
And you know that they killed this dude because he was he came out with this idea that not everybody should be allowed to vote. You have to have a certain level of intelligence. Yep. They killed that nigga. That nigga making a whole lot of sense. Because when you see, like, when the left talks about why they vote left, it's like you look at them like, you should literally be locked up in an insane asylum with this jacket and everything, the padded walls. It's like.
Yeah, like when they say babies are not humans, they're, what they call them?
Parasites.
Parasites, clumps of cells.
They said unborn babies. I was like, man, these people are just, they said it's closer to a parasite than an actual human being. I'm like. They don't even know what a damn parasite is.
Yeah, but they killed that dude for that. I mean, and what he said was true. I mean,
You got to have a certain, like the baby to vote.
Shut up, let me do some talking. Like it should be a privilege, like driving. You got to show a level of competency.
Right, to drive, right?
Yeah. Yep. You should be able to show a level of competency to vote, because you are a dangerous person when you're an idiot and you're allowed to vote. Yeah, you could so easily vote away everybody's right.
Back. We're going to take that back. They're going to kill us.
Yeah, all my brother trying to say, before you are able to vote, you should know, have a basic grasp of American history, Constitution, Bill of Rights, your rights.
You asking way too much, sir.
You should have just a basic grasp, and you should take one course in critical thinking.
You gotta pass it though.
It's a lot. It's a lot to ask for, man. It's a lot to ask for. Yeah. I mean, they're trying to lower the voting age to 15 or 16, aren't they?
That's crazy. They do that, you'll never see another Republican president.
Of course not, man. Of course not. If anything, it should be raised to 25.
If you bring down ages to 13, 14, we're going to have a dictator. They're going to vote away the democracy. And we want a dictator. We want a king.
Yep.
I want you to take care of me.
Yeah. Yep. There we go, man. Hodge Twins. Keith, Kevin, it's been so great to talk to you guys, man. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. Right. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
You're welcome, man.
Yeah. Put some respect on my name. Sick like a bang, click and a bang. Y'all gon' remember the name. Y'all gon' remember the name. Y'all gon' remember the name.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.